poisonous effect of material enjoyment. Thus my heart is always burning and is almost on the verge of failure. The result of the greedy capitalist's unnecessary accumulation of wealth is that he must suffer from a blazing fire of anxiety and always be concerned with how to save his money and invest it properly to get more and more. Such a life is certainly not very happy, but because of the spell of the illusory energy, materialistic persons engage in such activities. As far as our Krishna consciousness movement is concerned, we are getting money naturally by the grace of God by selling our literature. This literature is not sold for our sense gratification. To spread the Krishna consciousness movement, we need so many things, and Krishna is therefore supplying us the requisite money to advance this mission. The mission of Krishna is to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, and for this purpose, we naturally must have sufficient money. Therefore, according to the advice of Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada, we should not give up attachment to money that can spread the Krishna consciousness movement. Srila Rupa Goswami says in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Prapanchika taya buddhya hari samandhi vastunaha mumukshubhi parityaga vairagyam phalgukathate. When persons eager to achieve liberation renounce things which are related to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, though they are material, this is called incomplete renunciation. Money that can help in spreading the Krishna consciousness movement is not a part of the material world, and we should not give it up thinking that it is material. Srila Rupa Goswami advises, Anasaktasya visayan yatharam upajunjate nirbandha krishna samande yuktam vairagyam ucchate. When one is not attached to anything but at the same time accepts everything in relation to Krishna, one is rightly situated above possessiveness. Money is undoubtedly coming in great quantities, but we should not be attached to this money for sense gratification. Every cent should be spent for spreading the Krishna consciousness movement, not for sense gratification. There is danger for a preacher when he receives great quantities of money, for as soon as he spends even a single cent of the collection for his personal sense gratification, he becomes a fallen victim. The preachers of Krishna consciousness movement should be extremely careful not to misuse the immense quantities of money needed to spread this movement. Let us not make this money the cause of our distress. It should be used for Krishna, and that will cause our eternal happiness. Money is Lakshmi, or the goddess of fortune, the companion of Narayan. Lakshmiji must always remain with Narayan, and then there need be no fear of degradation. Thus is the end of the purport by Srila Prabhupada. So here the Brahman advising that how he sees the situation of the rich man. Actually we can call the so-called rich man, because the purpose of rich and wealth is not properly achieved if we do not know what is the real wealth of our life. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had asked Raya Ramananda, what is the wealth of our life? Just like Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give us the real wealth of our life, Chira Adadata Nijagupta Bitam, the hidden treasure that one can take advantage of it to derive real pleasure in his life. When we see the materialistic people, we say, oh, this guy is sense gratifier. He's always after enjoying his life, gratifying his senses. He just wants to enjoy his life. And sometimes I think all these materialistic people, they are trying to enjoy their life. What we are here for? To suffer in our life. Is the purpose of life to suffer? We have come to Krishna consciousness to suffer here? No. The purpose of coming to Krishna consciousness is also to enjoy our life. The real enjoyment that we derive, and what is that proper wealth and opulence, that anarpita charing chirat karunaya avatinna kalau samarpaitum unnata ujjalarasasya bhakti sriyam. That Sri Sampad, or wealth, that has been given, we have to understand what are the real wealth of our life. If the purpose of wealth is to become happy, then the process, the teachings, real teachings of how to make our life happiest is given in Bhagavad Gita. So how, having this material opulence or without having the material opulence, one can make his life happy? So that is the great thing that we have to learn. In this material world, people's happiness depends how much they accumulate. But if somebody will lead a spiritual life, the happiness is not measured upon how much material things he has accumulated. Because the happiness is not derived in the platform of the body, neither on the platform of the mind. Happiness is derived in the platform of the spirit soul. When we see the life of Sada Goswamis, and there we hear they had no house, they were not eating properly, only very little they were eating, and they were not sleeping also, very little time they were sleeping. Nowadays, most of our Western devotees, they go to Vrindavan, thinking we'll do Vrindavan bhajan there, do bhajan, because they read so many nice things in about Vrindavan. But when Vrindavan they go, June, July month comes, they'll run away from there. It's too much hot for them. They can't stay there, too much hot. But for Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, they're not running away when June, July comes. When December, January comes, they're staying there. Sometimes I think, or we think, that, oh, what an austere life it is to stay in Vrindavan. We'll consider like this, oh, what an austere life the Sada Goswamis are leading. But in fact, for Sada Goswamis, it was not austere life at all. The whole day, they're writing, they're listening, they're discussing the sweet pastimes of Lord Krishna. We can get a glimpse of that. Just whenever we discuss the sweet pastimes of Krishna, that gives so pleasure. If contaminated personalities like us, who are trying to be purified, we enjoy, just imagine how much they would enjoy out of that. And how can they become affected by any kinds of external situations? They simply enjoy, because they are connected to Krishna. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, it has been explained, that what is that Gupta, that despite of his wealth and opulence, the people are not happy. And what are the real wealth and opulence that which will make us happy? In generally, we think happy means materially we are comfortably situated. Or some people materially comfortably situated, but mentally he is disturbed. The Prabhupada explaining here, somebody might have everything, but he is mentally disturbed. Asantasya kutaha sukham. And how can he derive any happiness? But if we see the life of the devotees, what kind of happiness they are deriving? What kind of happiness the Brajavasis they are deriving? they got Krishna. By receiving Krishna, what was their achievement? By receiving Krishna, were they materially very comfortable? The sukham, the comfort of life was there. Were they achieving any peace in their mind? Rather, as long as Krishna was not with them, they are very happily living, no problem was there. No attack of demons were there. No anxiety was there. As soon as Krishna came, the life becomes miserable. Vrajavasi's life becomes miserable. All demons started to attack them. And mentally they were not happy. And after that they become attached to Krishna, then Krishna left. So there is no bodily comfort, no mental peace in their life. Just see what happened to the family of Ramchandra. What a tragedy in their life. Ramchandra, Supreme Personality of Godhead, came. What full family. The wife has to go with him, suffer in the forest. The father died in separation from Ramchandra. And mothers are very miserable situation. So where is the mental peace in their life? There is no peace in their life. And what happened to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's family? The Supreme Personality of Godhead came in their family. And what a tragedy, miserable situation in their life, in the eyes of the materialistic people at least. But Mahaprabhu came, then Vishwarup took sannyas, then Mahaprabhu married to Lakshmipriya, she left body, the father died, widow mother in his house, young wife, and Mahaprabhu left. This is what somebody gets, you achieve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But where is that peace in their mind? And what is that bliss they're deriving? So that we have to recognize. That even if they're bereft of everything, still they're enjoying so much that they're not able to give up Krishna. Why? Because they may not be getting bodily comfort or mental peace, but there's so much spiritual bliss. So much spiritual bliss. Not like that you accumulate something that by which you suffer. That is what material accumulations lead us to, so much suffering. And what is the cause of the suffering? And here Prabhupada giving very nice purpose. That we are not using the visaya, the material opulence properly. We say, oh, he's a visaya, materialistic means visaya. But who is real Visayi in this world? Who is the real Visayi? Lord Krishna. He is the real enjoyer of all the Visaya, all the materials. So once we understand that, then we'll have no suffering. That is the basic principle that we have to understand. Krishna is the enjoyer of everything. In peace formula and Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is telling, Bhaktarang Jagat Vasa Sarvaloka Maheswarang Sridang Sarabhutanang Gyantamang Santimrichati. So if you use everything for the pleasure of Krishna, then what will happen? Then we will derive real pleasure. Always we think, how much I get, then I will get pleasure. But the real principle is, how much I give, then I get pleasure. Usually we think by getting things we get pleasure, but real principle is by giving we get pleasure. I might have told that story before. There's a description that how there is a big fighting between demons and demigods. And demigods are saying, we are big, and demons are saying, no, we are big. So there's a big fight. And some senior people, they came forward, they say, hey, do not fight like this. We are brothers of the same father. The demons and demigods, they are brothers. They come from same father, kasya mani. And they decided, let us do one thing, let us go to Brahma, our great grandfather, and ask him, who are the great? Then they all went to Brahma Loka and asked, dear Brahmaji, we have come to you to ask one question that we cannot resolve. Please tell us, demons are great or demigods are great? Of course, Brahma knows very well who is great, but he is very scared to tell in front of them, the demigods are great and demons are not great. So he knows what will happen next to him. So he said, no, you are my, okay, no problem, I will give answer to you. You are all my children, grandchildren, you have come after so long time. So please, I want to feed you something first, then I will give you the answer. Then Brahmaji had a big feast cooked for them. Rice, dal, sabji, kachadi, samosa, many more, Brahma Lokas, many more items there also. So after cooking Brahma, he had a dining hall. But dining hall was really small, that he was not able to fit everybody together. So to make two seats. Let first demigods eat, then the demons will eat. The demons become very angry. Why? But we are lesser than demigods. Why we eat after them? We eat fast. Then demigods said, okay, let them eat fast. So they had the tables set, and both sides the demons sat down. Then Brahma announced that nobody should eat until I say to start eating. Then all items were served, everybody just watching. Saliva coming from their mouth, but they cannot eat. Brahma has not announced. Then Brahma sent few people with sticks and ropes. So they went to the sticks and rope, and they put the hand of all the demons like this, and put the stick like this, and bind their hand with the sticks. So the demons, they want to eat, but how they can eat? They can fold their hand. This hand is like this. So they are feeling so tortured, know how to eat, but very palatable foods. So they are twiddling like this, taking and throwing from here, from top, something falling into the mouth, somebody falling in the cheek, some nice eyes and nose. They are feeling so tortured, they, things are there they cannot eat, but they have to enjoy. And all the demons, all the demigods, they are standing next to them, and they are smiling and laughing and joking, you know, how demons cannot eat. Then finally demons, they got disgusted, they just left. Now, then Brahma said, okay, the demigods, you come, we will serve you now food. The demigods came and sat down. Then demons said, but Brahmaji, you have to do the same thing to them also. As you tied up our hand with stick, to them also you have to do like that. Then Brahma said, yes, of course, I'll do like that. Same thing to them also. So now demons are thinking, now we'll laugh also. When demigods are laughing, we could not eat. Now we'll see the fun. So all the demigods, they sat down, all the foods are served, they are standing face to face, they tied the hand with stick, and the demons are watching to see the fun. So demigods, what they did, this demigod mixed rice, dal, sabji, everything, and picked up and gave to the mouth of other demigods sitting in front of him. And that demigod fixed everything and put into his mouth. So everything, like, they all cleaned their plane, eating everything, and demons are looking like this. Why we do not do like this? The demigod, demons think, how I put on my stomach? But demigods know, how I feed to others. So by giving others, people are very allergic. When they listen about Krishna, you give to Krishna. Why? He will enjoy everything. I don't enjoy anything. They become envious of Krishna. Everybody envious of Krishna. And one Maharaja is telling, how can you avoid, how can you afford not to be envious of Krishna? How can you afford that? He is telling that in Golok Vrindavan, so many beautiful gopis, and he is giving Prabhupada is giving an example of the beauty of gopis. The most beautiful lady of this earthly planet that we call Miss World or Miss Universe. They call Miss Universe. How they know the beautiful lady of the universe? You can call Miss World, that is okay. You can call Miss Universe. There must be much more beautiful ladies in this universe, in other planets. So Prabhupada is saying that you take the most beautiful lady of this universe, and if you compare to the beauty of the denizens of the heavenly planets, they look like a frog in front of them. They're so more beautiful, the denizens of heavenly planets. And the Lakshmi of Vaikuntha, They are much more beautiful than the denizens of the heavenly planets. And gopis of Golok Vrindavan, they are much more beautiful. Just imagine your mind, the beauty, how beautiful they would be. And one of that beautiful lady will descend to this material world. What will happen to everybody? See, they will get fainted. No? Nobody can digest that beauty. And the Maharaj is telling, and such millions of beautiful gopis, and among them there is only one boy standing, only one boy. And all these millions of gopis, whether blinking their eyes, they are simply watching, looking at his beautiful face. And who will not become envious of Krishna? We get so simple things people get, we get envious. How can you offer? Unless you are that much strong, it's very difficult to offer not to be envious of Krishna. So people become very envious. Oh, he is the only angel. We have to surrender to him. They cannot take it. We have to surrender. But they don't understand. By surrendering to Krishna, we can enjoy only. Our enjoyment is by to serve Krishna. Krishna's position is he enjoys by receiving service. And we enjoy by rendering service. And if we try now, we also enjoy by receiving service. That is the cause of our suffering. Nirbandha Krishna Samandha. Whatever opulence we have, there is no problem. If we use it for the service of Krishna, that is Nirbandha Krishna Samandha. But if we think, then we are the enjoyer, and that is the root cause of our suffering. It's another instance. I might have told it before. In Bangladesh, there was a very rich man, Jamidar. And Jamidar, very opulent life he having. He is a maid servant, who is coming from a very poor family. And maid servant, they don't have good house, they don't have good bed. And Jamidar living very opulently, nice bed. And this maid servant every day, she mops the floor. One day the Jamidar, the rich man, he had gone out of the house. So there is nobody in the house. And the maid servant thought that my master is always sleeping, such a nice bed, soft bed. So I should check out, because master is not here, I check out how this bed, how one can feel. Then she sat down on the bed, so soft, Dunlop, beautiful bed. And felt so comfortable. And she thought, let me lie down a little bit. You know, so nice, feeling so nice. Let me lie down a little bit. When she lie down, she's so soft. She had never experienced in her life. So she just went to deep sleep there. For half an hour she's sleeping. Meantime, this master of the house came. Then he saw this maid servant is sleeping on his bed. Then he screamed, "Hey, what are you doing sleeping on my bed?" Then immediately the lady woke up. "Oh, please forgive me, forgive me." Then this master of the house took a stick, big stick, and started to beat this lady like anything. He's beating and beating. And this lady, very surprisingly, instead of crying, she started to laugh. So more he's beating, more she's laughing. More he's beating, more she's laughing. Then this person asking, "What? You have become crazy or what? I'm beating you and you're laughing. What is wrong with you?" The lady said, "No, no, nothing's wrong with me. Something wrong with you only. What's wrong with me? What is wrong with me? It's wrong with you, what you don't understand?" And the lady said, "You see, I'm laughing to think about you. So what are you thinking about me? I'm thinking about you that, you see, I only slept half an hour. For sleeping half an hour, if so much stick I'm getting on my back, you are sleeping on this bed whole life. How much stick you will get on your back? That I'm thinking, that's why I'm laughing to you." So enjoying, you know, this servant is enjoying. And we are all trying to enjoy our Lord's things. And we don't know how much stick is waiting to be put on our back. So that's why the real intelligence is to use everything for the service of Krishna. But we feel scared. We feel reluctant. No, no. Why he should? We feel really envious. Why only he should use? Why we should not enjoy? But the principle of spiritual world is not how much I get, rather how much I give. Same thing with the Lord also. We don't want, when we tell to somebody, you please surrender to Krishna. Oh, surrendering? No, no, no. Anything you tell me, I will not surrender to anybody. They don't want to surrender. But surrendering everything, such a good principle, even if Krishna also doing that. Krishna also surrendering. He is surrendering to his devotee. Aham bhakta paradhinai asvatantra evadija sadhivigrastar hidaya bhaktair bhakta janapriya. He also trying to be controlled. He is controller of everything. But he is trying to be controlled. In the same way, the people that are having so much opulence, but they can't enjoy. Because the real enjoyment comes when you use it for the service of Krishna. Prapanchika taya buddhi hari samandhi vastunaha mumukchvi parityaga vairagyam phalgu kathate. This is phalgu vairagya. People, they throw things, no, no, no. This is all maya, this is maya, I don't use these things. This is phalgu vairagya. Prabhupada was telling, there is some gold lying on the street. Somebody can go and take that gold, steal that gold, and use for his one purpose. Then another man came, then he saw this gold. Oh, gold is maya. Then he jumped or he avoided and left. And next person came and took that gold and used it for the service of Krishna. So that is real vairagya, jukta vairagya mucchate. There are different kinds of vairagya. Phalgu vairagya, markata vairagya, smasan vairagya. What other vairagya are there? Phalgu vairagya means there is a phalgu river. And on top you see there is no water. You dig little bit, so much water is there. There is phalgu vairagya. That we show outwardly have no attachment, but we are very renounced within our heart. There is so much attachment. It is known as phalgu vairagya. And there is also markata vairagya. The vairagya renunciation like the monkeys. The monkeys, they live a life, a great renounced. They have no house, they live on the tree, not in one tree, tree to tree they jump. They have no wealth, no opulence. So much so, at least sadhus, they have a kaupin. They don't have kaupin also. What is because nice cloth, they're completely renounced. They live only on fruits. So it sounds so, they're very great vairagi. But no, even if they live like a vairagi, but they have so much lusty desires. So there is markata vairagya. And there is a smasan vairagya. Smasan vairagya means when somebody die, then people, they have to carry him to the crematorium place. In India, when they carry some dead body, whether they're astik or nastik, anybody will chant this mantra. Ram naam satya hai, aur sab jhuta hai. Everybody, whether they believe in God or not, at that moment they will say, Ram naam satya hai, aur sab jhuta hai. In this world, everything else is false. Only the holy name of Ram is true. They will chant. They will text, and also if somebody die, everybody feel, oh, just see, what is this material world? This person just died. And everybody develop a mood of renunciation. Everything is false. And they will chant this mantra, and everything is false. Ramnam is only true. And when they burn the body and come back, then for them, Ramnam is only false, and everything else is true. This smasan vairagya, they develop a vairagya. Like this, and sometimes people become renounced also when they get too much opulence. They get renounced also. When you are full stomach, if Mahaprasad comes, you take only tulasi leaves, you don't take others. You are renounced because you have so much in your stomach. So, the different kinds of renunciation. Sometimes some elderly people, they come to our temple to Mayapur, oh, I want to become sadhu. So why you want to become sadhu? Because all this maya. But he left everything, his bank balance, everything for his wife. How wife, children, children. Now, just want to come and let the society maintain. He's thinking, I have given up everything. But he's giving up everything for his children and wife. But he's thinking, I am a great vairagi, renounced. So, the renounce itself also cheats people. The tapasya, renounce, renunciation, vairagya, itself also cheats people. That's why our acharyas have given the real definition. The mumukshivi parityaga, vairagyam phalgukat mumukshi. The people that are trying to get achieved liberation, parityaga, they are giving up everything. Hari samandhi vastuna, those they can be used in the service of Krishna. The mayavadi sannyas is no, is maya, this is maya, that is maya. But for Krishna consciousness, nothing is maya. Anything we can use for the service of Krishna, the same thing which is the cause of our bondage, the same thing will be the cause of our liberation. So that is the bhakti. Anasaktasya visayan jathara upajanjata nirbandha Krishna samandhe yukta vairagyam uchyate nirbandha Krishna samandhe. But everything you have to connect for Krishna. We are trying to renounce, but what we have brought? You want to give up this, you have to give up that, but what have we brought? Who can give up something? One who possesses, he can give up. But when he came, we have not brought anything, then what we can give up? And what we have done, we have stolen something. We have brought anything, but we have stolen something. And we just use it for the service of Krishna. That's it. Vairagya means is not giving up, rather using that we have stolen and used for the service of the Krishna. So in this way, the teachings of Bhagavad Gita teaches us that how we can become free from the bondage even if we are in this material world. It's a very specific process that which the karma yoga, jnana yoga, dhyana yoga, nothing can give us. Only bhakti yoga can give. That's why it has been told. Bhukti mukti siddhikami sakale asanta krishna bhakta niskam ateva santa. The bhukti and mukti and siddhi, all these people are asanta. Nobody can become peaceful. But Krishna bhakta, whether he has a lot of opulence or he has no opulence, so he is santa. Krishna devotee can have a lot of opulence, but devotee when he has a lot of opulence, he does not develop a enjoying mood. Rather, Krishna devotee has a lot of things, but always they are suffering for Krishna. They are taking anxiety for Krishna. Sometimes I think about my Guru Maharaj, His Holiness Jayapataka Swami Maharaj. People may be thinking, oh, this person is just having happy time traveling in the air, place to place, going the aeroplane, is so happy, happy life. But I know, when you travel by flight, how torturous it is, torturing. When I was in, I am from a village, from a poorest state in India, that is Orissa. And my uncle had a car, a jeep, not a car, a broken jeep. But sometimes he would take us to some holy places. And I would be so much happy to go by that jeep. Even if I can get a chance to sit in back seat also, that is great for me. Then I go, I enjoy so much riding on that broken jeep, that when we come back to our house, I think, oh, now I cannot ride any more jeep, now finish. My enjoyment is finished. But when you go travel so much by car, then I gradually got a chance to travel so much in a car. I go from Mayapur to Calcutta, oh, I have to drive 4 hours now, so torturing. So how your enjoyment is very relative. Then time you travel by flight. So torturing, so torturing. I sometimes think how His Holiness Jayapataka Maharaj manage these things. Traveling so much, we may think, oh, he's enjoying, it's not enjoyment. And we go travel, so much anxiety, go here, this problem, that problem, people may think, taking a big position, nice office, nice car. It's not like that. So if you take as enjoyment, you're finished. The point is, we do some service to Krishna, Krishna will give more opulence, and that opulence you take as enjoyment, that's it, we enjoy it. But you take more suffering, more trouble, more trouble. I know once, there is one Italian secretary of His Holiness Jayapataka Maharaj. He went on a trip with him as secretary. Secretary, for 2 months he traveled. And when he came back, for 4 days constantly he was sleeping. And fourth day he woke up, he resigned. He said, "No more your secretary. No, I have sufficient in becoming your secretary." The point I was telling, the point is that if we get something, we don't take it as a happy life. Oh, let us enjoy. No, we take more trouble. What Prabhupada was doing? No, people may think, oh, Prabhupada started this movement, he had very hard time to establish. When he established, everything was very nice. No, though I am not Prabhupada's disciples, I have heard from his disciples, Prabhupada has more and more anxiety. Many things are happening, outsiders are giving trouble, his own disciples are giving anxiety, so many things are happening. But he was managing very nicely because Prabhupada was very Krishna conscious. He was taking anxiety, and in spite of his anxiety, he was managing very nicely. Prabhupada came with $40, not 40 rupees. But he was not bound. Ultimately, he has millions of dollars, but he was not bound with that. When Prabhupada was about to leave his body in Vrindavan, all Gaudiya Mata sannyasis came to see Prabhupada. And Prabhupada, out of his humility, Prabhupada told that, "Please forgive me, because I got so much opulence. So I become very proud. I must have committed some offense because I got so much opulence, big temple, so much opulence." Then one Maharaj told Swami Maharaj that you did not go for opulence. Actually, you are so pure. Opulence running behind you. You are not running behind opulence. If we run behind opulence, then opulence get caught, catch us. But we have to act in such that the opulence will run behind us, then there is no problem. Then we will not be affected. That's why devotee is Je Bhaja Se Bada Chatur. He is very clever. If a lot of opulence comes, he will not be affected by that. Only if we are expert how to use it in the service of Krishna, then there will be no problem. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki. Any comments? Something special on how to use our opulence in the service.
He was in Bombay, and then news came that in Germany they raided the temple. And
there?
In Germany. Uh-huh. They raided the temple and took all the money.
Oh, they raided the temple.
Mm-hmm. But when Prabhupada heard, it was not a big deal again. He said, "Oh, he's supposed to, he collected that money for Mayapur, but he did not give, so Krishna took it." But then he forgot in a moment, and then he went to the next subject. I was like, so equipoised, whether it is coming or going. It's very unique.
Actually, for a devotee, he is very opulent because he thinks everything belongs to me. Because everything belongs to Krishna. I can use every money for Krishna. That is how, if you do some project, specifically, I conceive some project, I don't become worried for money. I think money comes, I'll do. Money does not come, I'll not do. I start projects. If Krishna gives money, I'll complete. If there's no money, I don't complete it. As everything you think as Krishna's, then you'll have no anxiety. And for sure, a lot of opulence will come. And that opulence will not bound us. This is art, how to use the opulence of Krishna. Great art. Give that microphone to him.
Oh, thank you, Maharaj. Beautiful class. One thing you had mentioned that is very difficult, maybe not to become some envious of Krishna because he's dancing there, and that gopis, how much beautiful they are. So I was thinking maybe this is the reason why we want to follow gopis, because so we don't become envious of Krishna. If we become servant to gopis, especially Srimati Radhika, then no chance to become envious of Krishna. So maybe this is why in our line so much emphasis there to become servant and follower of gopis. First become follower of Goswamis, our Guru Maharaj and Guru Varga, and then to become servant like that to them. No chance to become envious then.
Yes, that is the purpose of bhakti. You see, you become envious. Fighting. So, if I think you, me, then I feel envious of you. But if I think you are mine, I think Krishna is mine. I become Krishna, I am also Krishna. That is gopis. Mood is Krishna, you are ours. So if somebody is mine and he gets a lot of opulence, then no problem. No, that is the trick in Bhakti Yoga. That we get Krishna, you are mine. Even if you think Krishna, I am your, that is some problem. But if you think Krishna, you are mine, that is gopis' highest achievement. Then we don't become envious of Krishna. Krishna gets more, we feel more better. Yes.
Maharaj, in the Chaitanya Shikshamrita, Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about forbidden activities as obstacles on the path of devotional service. He lists 10 items. And one of the items that he lists, he says that one should not collect funds for huge projects. Don't start a huge project if you don't have the funds, and at the fag end of your life, don't start a huge project. But we see that Prabhupada broke the mold. So this would be, you know, because he was a senior, elderly sannyasi, and came to the, like you said, came to the West with 40 rupees, but then started so many projects. So this would this be a good example of Yukta Vairagya?
Yes. You see, what Prabhupada, you see, when they're saying don't build big project, you don't run after just collecting, making yourself mad to build big projects. But Prabhupada's case, Prabhupada was getting funds, as he's saying, we're getting funds and using it. As much as he's getting and using, and things are coming up, just like in India, just like temples coming up, like Tirupati temple came up, you'll be surprised they did not make any life members to make the temple. All everyday brahmacharis would go sell books, and they built that temple of 20-30 crore rupees temple. They achieved that very beautiful. And their program was everyday morning up to 9 o'clock, nobody will go anywhere. There's a grihastha president, but he has 70 brahmacharis. His grihastha, maybe wearing white, was greater than a sannyasi, his lifestyle. All brahmacharis like this, no? Like your guru. They treat like. Mangalarti attendance means, blowing the kangsel, before blowing the kangsel. That is Mangalarti attendance, not after blowing the kangsel. And if you come after blowing kangsel, you have no prasad, including him, president also. Sometimes he cannot come, no? He is like that. And he has a maintaining spiritual life so strong. No? So not like that everybody run around for money, don't care for a spiritual life, don't chant, they're maintaining. And money came by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, and temple was built. It's not like only in temple, even if we see, even our grihastha devotees also, so much dedicated for preaching. Grihastha, somebody is not like temple money. If you are grihastha, all our money also we should use for the service of Krishna. And I have seen there are so many great grihastha devotees in our society. As if somebody, one Maharaj was telling, that Prabhupada said, my Guru Maharaj created great sannyasis and showed to the world what sannyasi is. And I will create great grihasthas and I will show to the world what grihastha means. Tirikram Maharaj, somebody told me like that. So it's true fact, when I travel, I see some grihasthas, they're like greater than, bigger than sannyasis. There is one grihastha, I went to his house in Malaysia. He's an elderly man, he has his wife, his son is established, and he went to preach. And he retired, and whatever money he received, he bought a new house to preach Krishna consciousness. And the people that are not interested to listen Harikatha, so his wife is very good cook. So they planned, the old man going to work, so that he'll make little money. So wife will cook food, prasad, and people will be attracted to eat prasadam so he can preach Krishna Katha. So when I heard, I was surprised, the old people, they should take rest somewhere. Their opulent son, everything is there, but he's putting, going around to make little money that he'll use for preaching purpose. So this is the real things, no? You get money, but use it for Krishna consciousness. So there is a sannyasi, grihastha, doesn't matter, everybody renounced. Yes, Prabhu?
In the purport, Prabhupada mentions a greedy capitalist maybe twice or thrice. Where's the balance? Because I know there's an article, famous BTG article, and Prabhupada talked about spiritual communism. And then there's the, and somebody, one devotee analyzed the communism is for the sudras, capitalism is for the vaishyas, monarchism is for the kshatriyas, and anarchism is for the brahmanas. So is whether that's true or not, the or absolute or relative, but where do we, because we have a quota, sometimes we try to make more money, but Krishna takes it away, knocks it down. Or in your case, like if you start a project and the money may come, may not come, it's up to Krishna, but you try, right? So where we'd like to do, like in Prabhupada's chart, it said, at the end, after 70 years old, he will open up temples around, but before that, there'll be some failure, relative, external failure. So should we, how do we remain, let's say, satisfied, not frustrated, still we try to achieve something more?
Well, how to balance it? I can balance if we do things, say, depending upon Krishna, with attachment and detachment. You showed your attachment because I have to do it for Krishna, and you show your detachment. If Krishna gives, I'll do it. You can't be too detached for Krishna. You have to be attached. You have to struggle for it. Same time, you don't be attached to the result. Whatever the result comes, exactly on the basis of the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. We endeavor doing things, just like in our management, at GBC level, personally what I have experienced, I think something right, I should do it for protection of Prabhupada, I fight like everything, anything. When this doesn't happen, I don't feel morose. Feel okay, let it happen. In this way, we can always keep us ourselves with Krishna consciousness, taking more responsibility, and we balance our life. And how much money we will make to use for Krishna, there is no limit. How much money we can make, we can get all the wealth of Bill Gates, he has, or whoever has all the wealth, we can get that money. And we use it for the service of Krishna. There is no limit. How much we get, that is not the problem. But how much we spend for Krishna, that is the problem. That is important things. No? We should not be worried how less or how more I am getting. We should scrutinize how much am I using for Krishna. So that will balance our life perfectly. There will be no problem. Okay?
We'll balance it with the how much renunciation is required. But if there is no anurag for Krishna, as you say, then it should be false.
That is the main thing, anurag, attachment for Krishna. Attachment for Krishna and everything related to Krishna, you be attached to that. That is dual detachment. Krishna and tadhyana, both you become attached, then no problem. And if you become detached, the thieves have come stealing everything. No, all Krishna will take care. I'm detached from everything. No, this is not detachment. Let things go. I am detached. I don't do anything. No, this is not detachment. Devotee, they become. Well, you can be detached like that. You are really situated like that. Above Triguna. Neither Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra, or Brahmana, the monarchy, anarchy, democracy, or whatever it is. Then you go beyond that. Then no problem. Then let everything go. But then when your cloth, everything going, you should be detached also to that. When Krishna's things going, I'm detached. When my personal things go, then I'm very worried. That is not detachment. There are some detached sadhus are there, they don't bother. But they don't bother in every respect. Then it is okay, and there is no problem. Jaya Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveda Bhaktavrinda ki, Nitai Gaura Premanande. So today is Dwadasi. So I have brought some Jagannath dry prasad, dry rice. So if you want, you can take a little bit from here. But you don't chew the Jagannath dry rice. Suppose you chew, you have to swallow it. you should swallow with water, or if you can swallow like that, whatever.